Truly, we're just thankful to the God of heaven, who certainly does all things well, for again extending to us a privilege and blessed opportunity to assemble ourselves here to worship him in spirit and in truth once again. For it was John, the gospel according to John, in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, to say that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we're just truly thankful to God for allowing us and watching over us and bringing us back here safely once again. And from now on, let me say thank you to Brother Jones for the invitation to come to the pulpit tonight. He didn't have to do that. Amen. But for the opportunity and for the invitation, I say thank you. Thank you so very much. And coming to Hart Street is just like coming home for me. I enjoy it because the hospitality that you show towards me and my family and the way we interact with one another is just like family. And it's just that I feel good when I come here. Amen. I don't have to preach. I can come and just enjoy. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to be very brief. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter. And we appreciate the brethren who have come before us, as Brother Jones has stated, in preparing our minds and getting us ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. Matthew chapter 17, and I want to just reread verses number 5 for emphasis' sake and for my eyes' sake, because y'all know I'm having trouble with these eyes. Amen. So if I call on you to read, just have your Bibles ready. I hope I don't, but if I do, I want you to be ready. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to read verse number 5. The Bible says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And I just want to use briefly this evening for a subject, God has spoken. God has spoken. In this 17th chapter, this is the time that Jesus had, after 6 days, have taken Peter, James, and John, his brother, up into a high mountain, and there this word was transfigured. To transfigure means to be changed. He had changed before them. His face did become bright as the sun. And it talked about how his garments and things was white as the light. And it talked about there how that when the transfiguration took place, that there appeared unto them Moses and Elias. And I would almost say that if I were up there on that mountain, that I would have gotten excited to see there is Moses, God's mouthpiece, if you will, the one who went down in the Egypt land and told old Pharaoh to let God's people go. If I would have been excited to see Jesus there, I would have been excited to see Moses there, and I would have been excited to see Elias there. But I don't know if I'd have went as far as Peter did, because y'all know that Peter is notorious for speaking out of turn. He's notorious, as the old folks say, for putting his foot in his mouth. Amen. And there Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." And then that was all right. There was nothing wrong with that. But he kept on talking. And he said, "If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Eli." And the Bible said in verse number 5 that while he was still talking, there appeared a great bright cloud came round about him, and a voice spake out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, hear ye him. In other words, I don't want you to hear Peter, because Peter can't tell you anything. I don't want you to listen to Moses, because Moses can't tell you anything. I don't even want you to listen to Elijah, because Elijah can't tell you what my son can tell you. But I want you to hear my son, in whom I'm well pleased. I need you to hear him. Is that all right? The Bible goes on and said, this is when God has spoken. Go on down to verse number 6, where the Bible said, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Verse 7 said, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let me tell you something, my friend. When God speaks, we ought to listen. When God's words tells us something that's going to happen, we need to listen. We ought to be so afraid. We ought to be fearful of God. We ought to be fearful of God's wrath and retribution upon man for disobedience unto his word. We ought to be so afraid. We ought to be trembling. See, that's not the only time the folk heard God talking, they heard a voice talking and started trembling. Y'all remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul was a bad man. Amen. Saul was a bad man. Paul walked in the room, Christians run out. Is that all right? He would go places and obtain letters and get things to go kill and bound and do the horrible thing to those who called on the name of the Lord. But on that Damascus trail, he encountered the one that he was fighting against. The Bible said that he fell to the earth and said that there was a voice that spake unto him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, hey, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. Said, it's hard for thee to kick against the prick. And Saul was astonished. Saul was shaken up. And he said, Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord told him, you go on down, and it'll be showed you what you must do. But all I'm saying today is that God has spoken. And it's very important for us to understand that when God speaks to us, that we should listen. Why do we should listen? Book of Psalms chapter 68 and verse number 11. The Bible said that the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of them that published it. He said in Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 89, forever, O Lord, said thy word is settled in heaven. Is that all right? In John chapter 1 and verse number 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John chapter 17 and verse number 17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Whatsoever God speaks has been settled in heaven. When God, since God has spoken his word, he speaks truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John chapter 8 and verse 30 through 32, the Bible said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, the Bible said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. God has spoken, and we, our job is to obey. I don't know if y'all remember or not, that show that used to come on called Good Times with J.J. and them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't some of y'all younger folk may not know, but I know some of you older ones do. Amen. And there was an episode on that one time where J.J. was kind of getting rebellious a little bit with his daddy. And y'all know the show. Y'all know that his daddy didn't play. Amen. And he looked at him and he told him to do something. He said, no, Dad. And he looked at him and he said, you know what, Junior? Said, you ain't got nothing but one job. He said, it's my job to tell you what to do, and it's your job to obey. Is that all right? I kind of feel that way when it comes to God. It's God's job to tell us what to do. It is our job to obey. Amen. The Bible said not everybody to call. He said, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven, and not the will of man. A lot of time where we make our mistakes is that we fall in love with the preacher, with the pastor, with the bishop, with the so-called Rebbe. Amen. We fall in love with his voice. We fall in love with the man, and we don't go back and check that man. Amen. In other words, he could be teaching you something that is wrong, that is false doctrine, and you will follow because he said it. What about God? The Bible said that we ought to obey God rather than man. So therefore, we need to go back and read God's word, and whatsoever God has spoken, we ought to obey. Let me show you the problem with following after a man. And when I do that, I'm going to close this lesson. Is that all right? Amen. Let's look over there in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. We're going to find out, and let me show you the problem that we have if we follow after a man and not follow after God. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. The Bible says, O Lord, I know the ways of man is not within himself. It is not within a man that walketh to direct his own step. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. The Bible said, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. That's why you should not follow after man, but rather follow after God. Why shouldn't we follow after man? Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For the scripture said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so then are my ways and your higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, man thinks one way, but God thinks another way. And whatsoever seemeth right unto a man is death, but what is right with God is eternal life. We ought to obey God rather than man. God has spoken. God has spoken today when he said that you're going to die. God has spoken in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. For the Bible said, and is appointed unto man once to die. God said, you're going to die one day. You got an appointment to keep with death. Y'all know what? I got a tooth right here. And that tooth gives me the down-home blues. Amen. It gives me the down-home blues sometimes. But now when it's hurting, I'm on my way. I call and start scheduling appointments, Brother Daniel. I'm scheduling an appointment, Brother Daniel, and then all of a sudden, within a day or two, it started lightening up. It started getting a little better. So I get back on the phone again, and I cancel that appointment. One, I want an appointment to keep the money in my pocket. Is that all right? And then number two, I don't want to suffer at the hand of a dentist. Amen. Lord knows I need one. Amen. But this is one appointment that you will not be able to cancel. You can't prolong it. You can't put it off because this is what I like to call a divine appointment. That appointment has been set by God. And y'all remember over there when Job said that God has set every man bounds. He set man's bounds, and the man cannot cross the bounds that God has set for him. God has spoken. Not only that, God has spoken. He said, after you die, you're going to be judged. Amen. You got an appointment to keep with judgment. Look over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. For the Bible said, therefore we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in our body. Amen. It doesn't make any difference if the deeds are good or if the deeds are bad. You're going to be judged according to the deeds. Amen. You can talk all you want to, but God is going to judge the deeds. You can do all of these things on the outside. You know, men like to clean up the outside. And you do all these things to clean up the outside, but God is going to judge your deeds. He's going to judge your heart. God has spoken. God said that one of these days he's coming back. John chapter 14, and I'm going to close this thing. Let me close this up so I won't keep on going. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. God said you got an appointment to keep with death one day. And I understand, I'm sorry, not death one day, but he's coming back again. John 14, verses 1 through 6, the Bible said, let not your hearts be troubled. Amen. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, and whether I go, ye know, and the ways ye know. Said Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? But Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except he come by me. He's coming back again. I heard him say in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words had one that judged him. Same words that I've spoken unto you is going to judge you in the last day. He's coming again, my friend. And when he comes this time, he's coming in flaming fire with his mighty angels, and he's going to take vengeance upon them that knoweth not him and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at come time, you know, I just done a funeral just a little while ago. One of my best friends, amen, I took and said, you know what? I could be a friend until the end, but all the far I can go is out to the graveyard. When they lower you down into the earth and they put the dirt on top of you, that's as far as I can go with you. But I tell you, my friend, we need a friend today that's able to go just a little bit further, that'll be able to stand on our behalf when we stand on our behalf at the day of judgment to plead our case to his Father. Is that right? We need somebody to lean on. I remember a long time ago, there was a man by the name of Bill Withers. Bill Withers wrote a song. And I know that there was a secular song. But in my mind, I'd like to think about our Lord in that song. That old song said, lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you to carry on, for said it won't be long till you're gonna need somebody just to lean on. And I want to think that the Lord is that friend. He said, I'll be your friend, and that's closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. When you get away from God, it's not because he left you. It's because you had left him. Is that all right? He'll be there for you when everybody else turned their back on you. Some of these old so-called friends we have down here today. You give them a call on the phone. They look at their caller ID. And they say, I'm not talking to him today, and put it back in their pocket. You leave them a voice message on the telephone, and they won't call you back. You know they checked it, amen, but they won't call you back, amen. You call on a friend, they're afraid you're going to ask them for something. Is that all right? And they look and say, no, not today. But you know something, I'd rather have a friend today, no friend on this earth, but to have a friend that'll stick with me until the end. One, I can call him early in the morning and he'll answer the phone. Is that right?
I can call him in the noonday and he can answer the phone. I can call him late in the midnight hour and he'll answer that phone. I love that kind of friend. And you know, if you don't have a friend like that, I got one that I recommend to you today. Yeah, somebody said he's the Rose of Sharon. Somebody call him a rock in a weary land. Somebody said he's a bright and morning star. Somebody said he's a rock in a weary land. Amen. Somebody said he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Somebody said he's Alpha and Omega. Somebody said he's the first and the last. Somebody said he's the beginning and he is the end. I heard somebody said that he has a lot of power. For one instance, he said, I have the power to lay my life down. And he said, I have the power to take it up again. Somebody said that he had some power. One time they was out on the sea, and then the old ship was tossed to and fro. They ran down in the hinder part of the ship and said, Master, care us not that we perish. Now here you are down here asleep, man, and there's a storm out there. Oh, why don't you do something? And I can imagine if he's anything like me and I'm asleep, amen, and somebody wake me up for some foolishness, amen. I can almost imagine he wasn't none too happy. So he got up out of the bed and he walked up on the deck of the ship. He looked and he said, peace, be still. And the wind stopped blowing. Peace, be still. And the sea was calm. And they started looking and saying, what manner of man is this? That a man that the wind and the sea, that they obey him. I'm trying to tell you about that friend of mine that has all power in the palm of his hand. He declared it when he got up from out of the grave. He said that all power in heaven and earth had been given unto me. Would you like to have that friend on your side today? Right now, he's pleading with you. He said, behold, I stand at your heart's door, and I knock. I'm knocking. I'm not going to tear it down. I'm not going to push it down. He said, but now if you just open the door of your heart, he'll come in. He'll come in. The Bible said, if you draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Do you want to be saved tonight? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Have you been thinking about it? Have you been thinking, saying, you know what, I really need to be baptized because I know the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and I know that God is right. I know the church is right. I need to be a member of the church. Have you been thinking about that? Have you been taking that under consideration? You know what, there's no better time than now. Right now. Right now. You know, I'd be afraid to be ashamed. I'd be ashamed to be afraid. For God gave it all for you. He gave it all for you. He gave his son to die the most brutal, the most brutal, heinous death that man has ever known. They went through a crucifixion. He went through a crucifixion for you, and for me. And all he asks is you to give your life to him. If you just give up your life for him, you heard the gospel. Do you believe it? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he came and died and rose again on the third day according to the scripture? Do you believe that? You say, yes, I believe it. I read that in the scripture. Are you willing to change your heart, to change your mind, to have a determinate change of mind? And I'm not going to do what I want to do anymore, but I'm going to do what God would have me to do. That's what repentance is. You're almost there. Are you willing to stand and confess his name before men? If you're willing to stand and confess, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all you got to say. That's it. There's no long speech you had to give, no Christian testimony, no, none of that stuff. You can't tell this Christian experience if you're not a Christian. Is that all right? All you have to do, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then come on down this aisle. We'll give me your hand, give God your heart. We'll put you in the water. The clothes are back there. They're ready, right? The water is ready, right? I'm going to step way out on a limb here. But I'm going to say this. Sisters, if you're thinking about it, but you're scared to get your dew wet. I'm going to step way out on a limb. Some of us brothers might have nickel diamond up enough to go and get your dew fixed for you. We want you saved. We want you to be saved. We want you to be saved. Do you want to be saved? You come, you put the Lord on in baptism, be buried with him in baptism, be resurrected therefore to walk in the newness of life. If you're here and you already remember, yet you're falling astray, you come short of God's glory, do something about it tonight. Don't keep lingering in that state. Because let me tell you something, my friend, we don't know where death is. Brother Bonner and his family, just last week, could have had a close encounter with death. Driving down the street, sitting there minding his own business, and somebody else come up from behind and could have possibly taken him or one of his family members away. We don't know where death is. We don't know where it is. But you know what's good? John said, but blessed or happy is the dead that dieth in the Lord. If you have to die, you know you're going to die one day. We all live to die. But you know something I know? We all live to die, but we die that we might be able to live. I know that if we live right, we die right, we get up right, we can live forever. And everything will be all right. Will you be willing to come down the aisle? Let me have you stand on your feet right now. Don't sing yet. Just stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I'm fixing to sit down. Amen. Just stand on your feet. Now, you have just taken the first step to saving your soul. All you had to do is take the next one. You know, we all family here, aren't we? If you're standing beside somebody who's not yet a member of the church, lean over and ask them, say, would you like to go to Christ? And if they say, yeah, take them by the hand and you come down the aisle with them. Let them know that they're not going to be alone. They're not going to be by themselves. Amen. If you're here and you're a member of the church, do something about your undone condition. Let's do it right now as we sing.
599. Come to Jesus, he will save you. Though your sins as crimson glow.
Come to the Lord, sister. Come to the Lord tonight.
Give your hearts to Jesus.
Don't be afraid.
He will make them
Don't
white
be afraid.
As snow.
Listen
Come
to the song.
To
come to Jesus
come
tonight.
To Jesus.
Will you come?
Come to Jesus. Come today.
Why don't you walk
come
out tonight?
To
Put him on in baptism
come
tonight.
To Jesus. Come to
He's standing
Jesus.
With arms wide open.
Come
He's ready to
come
welcome you tonight.
Today.
Why don't you come to him tonight?
Come to Jesus. Do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till
Will you come?
The morrow.
Will you come?
Lest the coming be too late.
Come to Jesus.
To Jesus.
Come to Jesus tonight.
Come to Jesus.
You may be seated.
Come to Jesus. Come to Come today.